You know, when we think about habits, imagine you think about one habit that can help you get healthier, maybe a habit of eliminating sugar from your diet, or one habit that can make a difference in your finances, like a habit of not using a credit card. But here's a question. What's one habit that you could develop in your marriage that could save a marriage or make your marriage more intimate or closer? I want you to hang in there with me because in today's show, you're going to hear not only one, but several habits of people that they put into their marriage that make a difference. And we'd like to hear yours as well. You can share it at our comment line at 888-888-1717 as we dip into the archives of Intentional Living for today's show. We're talking about love habits, you know, those habits that we have in our marriage that build intimacy and closeness. One of the core principles of intentional living is developing better habits. You know, we live in the moments, and the research shows that about 47% of what we do is related to the habits that we have. And so today, hopefully, we can build some better habits for our marriage. Let's get started. A few weeks ago, Kim opened our program, and her marriage sounded like it was close to being on the brink. But I want you to just take a listen to the beginning of her call once again.
Hi, Randy. This is Kim. I'm from Texas, and I listen to your show all the time, and I've had a tremendous amount of marital problems. My husband and I, we argue a lot. We have almost went to the divorce state, and I just don't know what to do.
And you know, if that was the end of Kim's story, we'd be discouraged and we'd know that intentional living doesn't work, but it does. It can make a difference. We've seen it, and you're going to hear some testimony of that today. In fact, that's not the end of Kim's story. This is.
I have been doing the 30-day challenge, had some marriage issues, and started just thinking that I needed to start working on myself. That was what my prayer time was, and I started working on things I could do for my marriage, one of them being hugging my husband because I'm not a very affectionate person. Second one was to start complimenting him more. And then, of course, the last one would be to look at him when he's talking to me and put down my phone. The result of all of that challenge is that he has responded amazingly and now wants to hug me, compliments me, and now he does the same for me on most of these things and just does a lot of things just randomly for me. So it has worked tremendously on our marriage. So I just want to thank you for everything you do, and I greatly appreciate it, and I encourage everyone to do the 30-day challenge.
Amen. Thank you, Kim. Listen, think about it. If for the next 30 days, like Kim, you were to do one thing different in your marriage, just one thing, what would it be, and what difference would it make or has made in your marriage? I think this is such a powerful message from Intentional Living. I'm surprised it's not taught more often. About what's one thing, just one. We go to conferences, and I've been guilty of this over the years of teaching or writing, and we come with a long laundry list of things you got to do to have your marriage work. And usually those things are good things. But the reality is we take the stuff back, we put it on the shelf, and we don't do anything. We fall back in the old pattern because we get discouraged. We don't feel like we can do everything we're supposed to be doing to be the perfect Christian in our marriage. And I'm challenging you to just simply say, what's one thing, what's a love habit, one love habit that I could develop in my marriage for the next 30 days that would make me feel better and hopefully make our marriage better? And we got stories to show that it works. So we'd love to hear your story as well on our comment line, 888-888-1717. Jessica's up first from Michigan. Jessica, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. What one thing or what love habits have made a difference in your marriage?
Well, it took me 10 years to learn. My husband and I are getting ready to celebrate 10 years of marriage, and we got married really young. I was 19 and he was 20. We were going through a time where, you know, it seemed like so many things were going really great in our marriage. You know, there weren't really any problems. But my husband was going through a lot of stress at work and just really frustrating situations. And he was, you know, really taking that out on me and, you know, just our family and stuff like that. And there was one morning that he left and he was just, I think, dreading having to go right back into what he knew he was going into. and just really hurtful and just not kind, not loving to me. And and he left, and when he left, I pray every morning for him when he leaves. And I remember praying to God and just asking him, you know, how am I supposed to love him? Like, he is being so rude and so kind, and it's not me, and, you know, kind of all of that. And I remembered something that our pastor told us in our premarital counseling. In an instant, he just put on my heart, you know, you have to love him like Jesus loves him sometimes, and not like the human flesh and blood you love him. And I just thought about that a lot. Like, what if I loved him like Jesus loves him? You know, what if I loved him even when he sins, even when he's angry, even when he's hurtful, especially when I know that it's not about me and it's about something else he's going through. And so I just did that. I started to be kind when he wasn't kind. And when I realized it wasn't about me, and it really opened up a lot of conversation, and it helped him to see his own sin in anger, because we're all going to be angry, but, you know, we're first certainly called not to sin out of that anger. And I just constantly told him I was praying for him when I really was, and praying for his peace, and praying for these problems at work. And it just made such a huge difference for us. It really has. I just, he's just so much more kind to me in those moments. I can see it.
Yeah. So what I understand, Jessica, is when he would get angry, you'd get angry, but you decided not to do that any longer. You took a different approach. And did that kind of throw him off? Like, who is this woman now? Who's this woman I'm married to? What's going on?
Yeah, where I would just, like, shut down because he's just being so angry, and I would just be like, okay, whatever. You know, you want to be angry. It's not even my problem. It's not even me. And I would just start to be really kind to him and ask him, okay, so what are you thinking? What are you, that's really frustrating, or whatever I could say that would kind of try and get him to talk a little bit more, and it made a huge difference.
Yeah, how's your marriage today?
Oh, wonderful. We really do. We have, you know, just a really, really deep love for each other.
That's fantastic. Listen, this stuff works. This intentional living material that we teach, this is God's idea. I mean, we're intentional living, but God is the intentional God. And he just illustrates over and over, day after day, the people we talk to, like Jessica, who are saying, I'm doing the next right one thing. I'm choosing to be intentional. It's not about perfection. It's not about always being right, or it's about being the right person. And whatever the issue is, today we're talking about marriage, but you know, these one thing principles, or these habit things that we talk about, work in other areas of your life. Maybe you've got relationship problems at work. Think about what one thing would make a difference, a new habit that you could introduce in the workplace for yourself for the next 30 days that would make a difference. Or maybe it has to do with your health. Come on now, we know what that means. What's one thing for 30 days, not 50 things? You know, those of us who, we run hot and cold. You know, when we run hot, we got to do everything. And then we get cold because we get discouraged. But if you just kind of very systematically every day doing the next right one thing, you want to grow spiritually, what's one thing that's going to help that? It's not going to happen by osmosis. You don't wake up one day and say, wow, look how much I've grown spiritually. You grow spiritually through your prayer life, through your reading, through your meditation, through what you fill your mind and heart with. It's a daily decision. And what we're hearing, and Jessica just told us, she just said, hey, I'm not going to respond in kind. And her whole marriage has been radically changed. Now, does that mean every time you change, everybody around you is going to change? Not necessarily. But there's something that happens inside of us when we make that decision. Okay, thank you, Jessica. I'll be back. We've got Kay and Julie standing by, and others as well, as we're talking about the love habits that can make a difference in your marriage. Don't go away. When Stephen and I and Jennifer and the rest of the team are doing intentional living, and we're taking calls over all of these years, I think I did the math the other day, and I've talked to about 50,000 people individually over the last lot of years. And I'd say 90% of the people that I've talked to, if I were to put them in a bucket, I'd say they were struggling with disunity and a lack of peace. There was disunity in their marriage, disunity in their minds, disunity with God. There was something going on in their life that was causing them not to experience peace. People don't call me to talk to me when everything is peaceful.
Boy, that's true. That's an excerpt from the teaching this month, from our master class on pursuing peace. And I wanted to use the word pursuing because you don't just sit in the corner and wait for peace to arrive. So, you know, we need to pursue it. And that's biblical. And when we pursue peace, we're really pursuing God, aren't we? And so this lesson this month is very practical for our members, for a part of our intentional living community. You all received it by now here at the end of the month. Thank you for your support. We appreciate it. But before the month runs out, I want to remind you that are not part of intentional living, you can join us today. We want to get this teaching to you. It goes to our intentional living community, a brand new lesson every month from a master class to encourage you. Love to have you be a part of it. When you go to theintentionallife.com, when you're there, all you have to do is find that little icon that says donate. When you click on it, all the information is there on how you can sign up and be a part of intentional living today. I hope you will before we wrap up the month of April and start moving into, boy, I can't believe it. We've got January, February, March, April, one-third of the year is already behind us. And every day, as we realize it's a precious gift that we want to use to bring glory to God and benefit to those that we love and our family and in our community and certainly to ourselves. And so watch for the teaching every month. If you're a member, if you're not, again, join us today at theintentionallife.com. And I just want to say again, as we're moving through this week, I'm still reflecting on the great time we had in Jackson, Michigan and Mount Pleasant last week and praying for you all. I hope those of you that made some decisions are following through. Remember the power of one thing, okay?
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
We started with Kim, who from Texas said we were on the brink in our marriage. They backed away, and Kim decided to develop some love habits. She took two or three things and said, these are the things I'm going to do for a 30-day challenge. And that was the beginning of a transformation in her marriage. And we've been asking, what's one thing that has made a difference to you? A love habit. So let's go to Kay in Michigan, who wants to join in as well. Kay, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Go right ahead. What are you doing? What's the love habits in your marriage?
My husband would get frustrated and vent when he was angry. And in the beginning of our marriage, it would let that, you know, upset me and it would escalate to arguments. But after a while, I started just being still and being quiet and not letting his frustration and anger work me up, and it made a big difference in our marriage.
Interesting. Similar to what Kim was saying. In other words, you chose to not respond in kind to what he would do. And what happened when you started to do that in your marriage?
Well, he would apologize afterwards, and then we were able to talk about it. So it was more of a, you know, calm talking rather than it just changed our communication, and it just made a big difference.
And about how long have you been doing this in your marriage now?
Well, we've only been married for 10 years, so like 8 years now. So it's like we're adults.
You're all grown up now, right?
Yeah.
You know, listen, we talk about the first 7 years of marriage statistically are the most difficult, and most marriages that end in divorce, not all obviously, but most that do tend to in the first 7 years because you can't get through some of these battle points. And what you decided to do is say, hey, this isn't working. We're past the honeymoon now. We're a couple years into the marriage, and you decided to be a little more quiet and silent and let him kind of stew in his frustration. And he woke up to he probably heard himself thinking, hey, I don't have anybody to argue with anymore.
Yes.
Yeah. And so how would you characterize your marriage today, Kay?
We both have just learned how to communicate rather than fight. And it's the biggest thing is it's a peaceful home for our children, and setting a better example. As soon as, even now, he still will get upset, but even now when he does, it's like I'm just quicker to recognize it, and it's a more peaceful home environment, and we're able to, it's just a better marriage all around. Gets upset and says things that push my buttons or make me feel like I want to stand up for my rights. It's like, nope, now is not the time. He's too upset. We'll wait till things are calm.
That's good. Good principle. Hey, listen, life is filled with these little habits that make a difference, and marriages that work the habits and make them work in their marriage. Okay. Thank you, Kay. Appreciate it. Let me get Julie on the line in New Mexico. Julie, welcome to Intentional Living.
Thank you, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate it. What have you learned about the right love habits?
Well, my husband and I was 40 when we got married for the first time for both of us, and he was 37. And unfortunately, I don't remember exactly how far into the marriage, but probably close to 10 years. For some reason, one day, it just hit me that I had not given my husband headship. And what I mean by headship is that I've always been the one to take care of the finances in our home. It's not that it was better serving us as a couple for me to just do the work of the finances. But I wasn't even kind of including him for a while. But once I realized that he needed headship, And what that really looks like is that with the finances, I would go to him and say, okay, this is what we have coming up. This is what I would like to do. And then get his input on where that money was going, when it was going. And sometimes if there was a larger purchase, I would get his input. Of course, we never spend more than, you know, a few $100 or $100 without talking to each other. But once I let him have what I call the right of refusal to say not right now for that purchase, and so I'm not always okay with it, but yet letting him have the leadership role in that, it always, always turned out for the better. And when I let go and let him, and then we also respect showing regardless of where he is, showing respect. And it's really about my relationship with God more than anything. Probably the other one is two things, really. Thanking. Our husbands cannot be thanked enough for the sacrifices they make every single day to provide for their family. And we never had children, but still, he's a hard worker, and I really try to never miss an opportunity to say thank you and to say you are doing such a great job, or to genuinely compliment how much he's grown or where he's how far he's come.
That's good. Listen, those are the things that make a difference, Julie. I think you tapped into the essence of men and some of the things you've said there. Men really thrive with that feeling of respect. They're feeling it's a respect thing. That's the way men are wired. And when our wives show that kind of respect in words and deed, and honestly, it makes a big difference. And at the same time, we know that women need respect and love as well. So it cuts both ways. And when that happens, when we have a marriage that's filled with love and respect and affection and honest communication, I don't know how you can go wrong with that. Doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. But if we were just to simply say, I want to add love, respect, good communication to my marriage, and we practice those things, just like you heard Julie introduce into her marriage, it'll revolutionize your relationship. It really will. That's intentional living. Julie, thank you for your call today.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. We'll be back. Roosevelt wants to join in from Georgia, and we'll get to his call in a moment. And some other things for you before we wrap up today's Intentional Living.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Many people are trying to find peace, but they can't because there's division in their lives, whether it's their marriage, their relationship with God, or their own mind. Disunity leads to a lack of peace. In Dr. Randy's teaching, Pursuing Peace, you'll learn how Paul settled a dispute in a church and encouraged unity in Christ. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you a blog along with a video or audio of this teaching, featuring a new topic each month, as well as a bonus teaching on various topics that will help you live an intentional life. To receive this month's special offer, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Are in-laws a blessing or a curse to your marriage? Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. It says in Genesis chapter 2 that we're to leave and to cleave, and this idea of leaving and cleaving has very little to do with location. You can be far away from your family and still have problems building unity in your marriage. Or you can live next door to your in-laws and have great unity in your relationship. Remember, the role of in-laws is to support the one that we love, our family member, in being successful in that relationship that they've chosen to enter. Sometimes that's not easy to do, but our role is to pray for them and support them, and if we have advice that we'd like to offer, make sure that we're asking for permission before we do. So here's a one thing challenge for us for this next month. Agree and lovingly confront as needed if leaving and cleaving is an issue. That's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
All right, that's the Intentional Living Minute. You can sign up for it today at theintentionallife.com. We'll get it to you every day in your email box. And we have thousands around the country who are receiving this. Love to have you receive it as well. Share it with others as you listen to it. Maybe it'll be a topic that, like this one today you've been hearing, that'll impact you, and maybe think about someone you want to share it with. I hope you will. That's why we do these things, because we want to get them out to as many people as possible. If you're new to Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Randy. I get a chance to be on the radio every day on our podcast on a regular basis. You can hear our broadcast streamed live, or we have an archive of all of our broadcasts. We have resources for the family. We do events. We've got books and other things that we distribute to help people do one thing, to figure out what pleases Christ and then do it for God's glory and for their benefit. Because when we follow what God's intention is for our life, we benefit from it. And we see that, and I've seen it, in the lives of people I've counseled with, talked with, encouraged, taught, people that have been a part of a conference or one of our sessions. And to see lives change, that's why we do this. So it's a really big deal to be able to say thanks to those of you who get it, get the vision, and have joined us and are supporting us to be a part of Intentional Living every day. We certainly appreciate it. All right, what's your one thing in this area of love habits? I think Roosevelt has got a whole bunch of these one things he wants to share with us. And so, Roosevelt, my friend, welcome to the program. Go ahead. What have you learned about love habits in your marriage?
I have been with my wife for September 21st, be 43 years. Mm. And I'm 61, but back about over 20 years ago or so, we was living in the same household, yet I was lived in one room for 5 years, and she stayed in the other room.
Hmm.
And I prayed about it, and what I did start doing back then, I started just serving her. The kids was had grown, or one was senior high school and stuff like that. Well, they was grown. And I started doing the things that she had done for the kids while they was at the house. So I start cooking for her, and that made a difference, because now she cooks Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's.
And I
would feed her, and I massage them. Her shoulder hurt, I massage it. I run a bath water. I would always tell her I love her every morning and kiss her, because she was kind of like, when we met, she was shy. She did not want to hold my hand in public and hug and stuff like that. I was very, had a lot of passion that I wanted to share and affection. And started gym. It took quite a few years. And now she kiss each other every morning. I open the car door for her. I open the door for her when we're going in business and stuff. And she appreciates that.
Yeah.
And I, yield to the lesser vessel. If there is something that's inside of me, I get it out, and then I hear it myself, and I go back and apologize to her. No matter, I don't let it wait. If I say something to her that morning that offends her, and God or He give me the insight of how it affected her, I would get up and go down to her job, and I would apologize to her.
Mm. Listen, what you're doing here, Roosevelt, is you're taking 43 years of knowledge and experience, and you're living it out. See, there's a couple things that can happen in our marriage, and I think you're an example. You can either get sour because it's not working, and every year is just an add to the sourness of your marriage until eventually you just die. Or you say, you know, this ain't working so well. Things aren't what I should be doing here. And you intentionally, Roosevelt, said, hey, I'm going to start drawing a bath for her. I'm going to start cooking. I'm going to start loving her in very practical ways, very hand-oriented. You're kind of a hands guy, get it done kind of a guy. And she responded to that. That's made a difference. Here's the key when you think about being on the brink with your marriage. Now, you may have some really serious issues that need to be confronted, and I understand that. But if your issues are basically we've just grown apart, we're not on the same page, we're not communicating any longer, you have to take those very first steps to back away from the brink. And Roosevelt's an example, and many of the calls we've had today are reminding us that, but just by doing the next right one thing. Can I challenge you for the next 30 days and say, for this month, I'm going to intentionally make it one thing, one love habit I'm going to really put into my marriage? Just one thing. What would it be? I've seen over 30,000 people stand at our conferences, and those are just the ones who have stood and have made a one-thing commitment for their marriage for 30 days. I'm challenging you by the thousands, but you personally, wherever you are in the country or wherever you're listening around the world, to say, here's one thing that I'm going to commit to for my marriage for the next 30 days. And it may be as simple as saying, hey, I'm going to start cooking every night, or I'm going to start giving my spouse a hug every day, or I'm going to speak a word of encouragement, or I'm not going to criticize them. Or we're going to sit down and talk about the money. I'm not going to just make the decisions myself any longer. Whatever that one thing is that you know will push that button, not the button to create more problems, but the button that'll create more intimacy in your marriage. And you start pushing that more often every day for the next 30 days. And then you tell me at the end of this month how your marriage is different. I'd love to hear it. All right, those are our thoughts from Intentional Living. We'd love to hear yours as well. If you missed any part of the program, it's available online to you on demand. I'm Randy Carlson. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.